Hi, and welcome back to the Prepare Podcast. On the Prepare Podcast, we meet with women of faith and in ministry to hear from their experiences and wisdom to help prepare us in our faith, pursuits, and callings. Thanks for listening. I am your host, Sarah Makula. This month, Others Trade for Hope Eastern Territory Director April Foster joins us to share about her journey and about Others Trade for Hope, formerly known as Salyan. Others products are sold at our trade store here at Central Territorial Headquarters and will be sold at the Arise and Shine Women's Conference. Hear about how Others started and where it's going and how you can get involved in this unique and important Salvation Army ministry. Enjoy this month's episode. Hi, April. Welcome to the Prepare Podcast.
Hello.
So glad you could join us. And why we invited April Foster onto the Prepare Podcast is she is the Others Director based out of the Eastern Territorial Headquarters. And at the Rise and Shine Women's Conference in October, our trade department will be set up to sell various goods that they sell, including Others products. And I'm going to let April explain what Others is because she'll do a much better job and give accurate information because it has experienced some changes over the years. And but she'll explain all those things. But first, I want April to just share who April is. So, April, introduce yourselves to our listeners.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm so happy to be able to be with you and to share a little bit of my journey and certainly about Others Trade for Hope. As you said, I'm currently the Others Trade for Hope Director here in the Eastern Territory. I'm a Salvationist. I grew up in the Salvation Army. My parents are retired Salvation Army officers, and just really had a calling on my life as a young person for overseas service. And so as soon as I finished with university, I applied to go overseas with the Salvation Army. And that really began a 30-year journey for me, serving as a layperson overseas in a variety of different countries around the world, doing a variety of different things, and have just felt so privileged to have that vocational path as part of my journey and ministry, and then can explain as we go forward how that kind of led me into what I'm doing now with Others Trade for Hope.
Yeah, that's the first thing that comes to mind is just how you got introduced to Others Trade for Hope, because I actually first got introduced to you, I don't know if it was 8, 10 years ago, a while ago when you were in Kenya and you were overseeing or being the contact for the Dorcas beads. Mm-hmm. So that was my first intro to you. So how did it all come together that you got involved in Others?
Well, the other story is much longer than where I'll start, you know, how I became involved with that in Kenya, but we can jump back to that a little bit later. But I had been living and ministering in Kenya for 20 years, and that time began really focused on the Salvation Army's ministry with HIV and AIDS across the African continent. I was part of a team working with that. And we had spent, you know, a lot of time with community groups and core in many countries across Africa, and certainly in Kenya, where I lived. And one of the main things that we saw, particularly with women who were at that time affected in some way by HIV, was the need to have a sustainable source of income for themselves and their family. And, you know, many different kinds of projects and ideas started with that. But I can remember one day I was sitting in a small local community in Kenya with a group of women who, you know, had become, you know, my friends and who I knew very well. And they were sitting making some small products out of plastic beads. And I remember them asking me, and saying, you know, do you think anyone would be interested in buying these products? And I said, I'm not sure, but you know, we should give it a try. And eventually, that small group of five women began making products from recycled paper. And we went in faith to some tourist shops in the city, those first products. And at that time, there were no similar paper bead products in Kenya. And we received an order in the first store that we went to. And I think that was really the beginning of how the Dorcas Bead Group started. As I mentioned, it was with five women, and eventually over the years that grew to over 200 women who are actively involved with that now in that community. And so that group was alive and well and thriving, and you know, many other women's groups through Home League and different ministries of the Salvation Army, you know, doing similar things across Kenya. So when we had a team from the Others Trade for Hope global office come to visit Kenya, we took them around to visit Dorcas Beads and some of these other women's groups. And they, after that visit, spoke with the leadership in Kenya and asked whether the Kenya territory would be interested in becoming a producer country for Others Trade for Hope. That was around 8 years ago. And so I spent 4 years working in setting up Others in Kenya, working with the different women's groups and really establishing Others in the Kenya territory.
Okay, so then let's go further and further back and share. Now we know how you got involved with Others, but what is Others and what is the beginning story of that?
Yeah. Well, Others Trade for Hope is the Salvation Army's global social enterprise, working with artisan groups in different countries around the world. Currently, we are partnering with groups in Kenya, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Moldova, Indonesia, and small, just beginning in Romania. And each of these groups works on developing products which can be exported and then marketed and sold in different parts of the world, all through the networks and channels of the Salvation Army. And this has been a ministry that began in Bangladesh in the late 1990s when there were officers serving there from Norway who were working with women particularly affected by trafficking and began working with them and through literacy and different skills training programs and quickly saw the need to be able to provide opportunities where products that they were learning how to make could find a market. And that started in a very small way by setting up a shop in Bangladesh that ran for many years and sold those products. And then eventually that began to expand into retail markets in Norway and Scandinavian countries. And then, you know, eventually now moving out to other parts of the Salvation Army world, particularly here in the United States in the last 4 or 5 years. You go to the Global Others website. It's www.tradeforhope.com. And you will see there a link for the U.S. Website, and items can be purchased online. Also through the territories in the central, the south, and the east, through your trade departments, Others products are available as well. So contacting, you know, your trade secretaries if you are a Salvation Army Corps or ministry unit, and they would be able to provide you with information of inventory and products that are available.
Now, I had heard previously that in your territory, I believe it was in your territory, that there was some home sales. Now, can you tell us about that? Is that something that's still going on, or
Absolutely.
What's that look like?
Yes, yeah, and I really, you know, encourage this as one way that you can become involved in a hands-on way and sharing about the other story through your core or with your circle of friends. So a couple of years ago, we put together an Others Home Party or party box, and we developed materials for about a one-hour program that really took people on a journey of understanding how Others began, And we made it very interactive. So the program kit includes a link to a video, which you can watch about how others began in Bangladesh. We have interactive games like bingo and some, you know, trivia questions on the different producer countries. You learn about the products. You hear stories of the women who are producing these products. And then at the end of the party, you're able to purchase products from others. And even we added in an opportunity to write a note to the others' producers. And we've been sending those messages back and forth as they've been received. So we have two of those party programs available, one focused on kind of a general background to what others is. And then we have a second party program kit focused on the country of Kenya. Those have been really a great way to involve core groups, and even young people have used them. We've had a few, Sunday school and different young people's groups do a similar party, just to learn about different parts of the Salvation Army world, and particularly about others and how they can become involved.
So as we were emailing back and forth, you said there's some new developments for others in the in the works. Can you share about that, or is it top secret?
Yes, no, it's not top secret. Definitely. I mean, we were encouraged, you know, by the this home party box kit, and felt that we really wanted to make that even more accessible to people. So one of the things we're working on finalizing now is an online Facebook party for others. And we're hoping in the next month or so that will be finalized and available, make it much easier for people, especially young people with their circle of friends, just to, within maybe 24-hour period, host an online others party completely through social media, you know, get people knowing about others, interacting with it, learning about it, and then able to shop online for others products. So that's coming soon, and we're excited about that. Please follow us on social media, because there'll be announcements there about when these things are available on Facebook and Instagram, where others USA. So that's one development. The other is we have recently partnered with a designer here in New York to work with us on a new scarf collection, which is being produced in Bangladesh. And we're hoping to launch that new collection of scarves in September, October. And we're looking for people who would be willing to become kind of like social media brand ambassadors for that. So that would mean, again, just sharing posts on social media about these new products, the story of how they're created. We have a link now on our website at tradeforhope.com. If you go there, you can see a video that highlights this designer that we're working with and tells a little bit of the backstory about this new scarf collection. So, you know, stay tuned for that. They're going to be beautiful products, and we're really hoping that we can use a lot of just social media networks to share that story.
Very cool. Are there any other new products? You mentioned Romania. I'm curious to know what they might be producing.
Yes, a few new interesting products coming out of Romania. One has been, you know, a request since we started here in the States. The cry from men about what are the others' products, you know, for men in particular.
Okay.
We really haven't had very much for them, but Romania has a group working with leather. And so we're working with them to produce the first kind of range of some small leather products like credit card holders for men and some small wallets. So that's something that we hope we'll have, pushing to have available, you know, by the end of this year. And then also Romania is making a reusable vegetable and produce bag. If anyone is following the news, and certainly, you know, all of the challenges and problems with plastic, being used and finding its way into the ocean and all of the negative impacts of that. And many of the others' products, especially from Kenya, are made from recycled materials. And so we really want to be pushing these kind of recycled products products that are good for our environment. And so Romania is making this, you know, vegetable produce recycled bag that you can carry to the market to, you know, put your produce in and not use those plastic bags. So, you know, we will have those available in the course of this year as well.
Oh, very cool. So in the past, and I say in the past because I just recall, so it could still be the same method, but I recall that the product design used to come out of Norway or from the international headquarters office of what used to be Salient, which is now Others Trade for Hope. Is that still, do those designs still come from the international headquarters?
There is a global council for Others, which is made up of representatives of each of the retail and producer countries. And that group meets once a year. We just had our last meeting last month. And during that council meeting, really everyone who participates in that has input into, you know, what new products, what design ideas do we have, what things would we like to see, you know, really focused on in the coming year. And so I think there is a like global input into what products get developed. Certainly in the past, there have been opportunities where professional designers, and that has been primarily from Norway, have gotten involved with product design. But now, as I've mentioned, with this connection with a U.S.-based designer around the scarf collection, we're really trying to also, you know, look at products that are really designed and focused on, a U.S. and Canadian market. So trying to get that balance of, you know, some products are timeless and they work across multiple cultures, but some really have a particular, you know, look for a U.S. market. And so we're really looking to get that, you know, that balanced in the kinds of products that we have available.
So is it shifting a little bit more to, or maybe just for this season, wearable items when in the past it was a lot more home goods?
I think it's still always going to be a combination of those things, and certainly always looking at the skills and abilities and you know, production capacity that's available in each of the countries where we're working, and different, you know, techniques and kind of things that they have available, which in a way kind of shapes what we're able to produce. But certainly, you know, things like scarves are something that can be produced in multiple countries. And it's something that, you know, women always, they don't just buy one of those. And so that's a good product for us to produce. So I would say it's just kind of a balance of those kind of home interior and then, you know, these kind of bags and scarves or, you know, these kinds of small pouches and things like that, which really everyone will buy in multiple colors and, you know, more than one of those.
What's been, from your experience or your knowledge, bestseller items for Sailing, or sorry, for Trade for Hope? Others Trade for Hope.
Yeah, I think we have had these small coin purses that are beautiful, all hand embroidered, multicolor from Bangladesh. Those have been very popular. I would say also baskets, like woven baskets. We've had some like for a bread basket and a heart-shaped basket, which have been really, really good sellers. We did a campaign last year on these small embroidered hearts from Bangladesh, and we had a 10,000 heart campaign last year. And, you know, we really, I know all the territories participated in that, and we went even beyond the 10,000 hearts. They're just a beautiful, small, affordable gift that crosses over not just for Christmas, but you think about Valentine's Day and Mother's Day gifts, and you can give a heart at any time. And then the nativity sets from Kenya made from banana fiber have always just flown off the shelves, and just really beautiful, you know, with very unique kind of designs on those. And so those have been very popular around Christmas time.
You just mentioned the 10,000 hearts. Was that a campaign that your office came up with?
Yes, we did that in conjunction with our leadership here in the Eastern Territory, and we developed promotional material around that, videos and information about, you know, the women who were producing those products, and really just shared that through all of our social media and other channels. And people really, I think, were caught cut by that idea of the 10,000 hearts and the number of women who were producing those hearts and the difference that purchasing one of those hearts would make. And so we were really encouraged by the response to that campaign. We're doing another one of those campaigns this year around a small angel that's produced in Kenya from banana fiber. And the tagline for that is help others spread their wings. And those will be available on the website shortly. And, you know, we're doing a lot of the promotional material around that right now.
Where do you come up with these ideas? These are great.
Usually when I'm, you know, just about to fall asleep or just waking up in the morning, but just talking with people and kind of saying, this is, you know, a product that we want to share, and kind of, you know, just mulling over that, I would say, and, you know, getting inspiration from some different resources and people that we talk to. But, you know, with everything, I really feel that the Others Ministry, and I have felt this since I started in this position here in the States, is really being guided and directed by the Lord. We see so many open doors, you know, coming almost every day with people showing an interest in these products, wanting to know more about them, knowing how they can become involved with this ministry, because they can see the direct impact, especially if you're following on social media, see the stories of women whose lives are being changed when we choose to purchase an ethically produced product through the Salvation Army that is not only supporting one woman, but supporting her family and her local community as well. And so, you know, I think the Lord is just guiding and opening all of these doors for others to continue to grow.
Do you have any stories that you can share, or bits of a story of the producers and how they have been impacted?
Absolutely. We always want to link a story of a person, if we can, to each product. And I think that is one of the beautiful things about Others Trade for Hope, is that we can do that. And that, I think, brings such a deep and added value to every product. I'll share the story around the 10,000 hearts and how that came about. I was in Bangladesh the beginning of last year, and we went on some home visits and with the team there. And we went to visit one of the producers. And while we were in her home, another woman came in to the home, and she was, her name was Rosie, and she was crying and very, very distressed. And we weren't, you know, really sure what was going on. And eventually, through the conversation, learned that she was a woman who had been married, had started to come through one of the Salvation Army programs, had stopped that, gotten married, had two children, and had just recently been, her husband had left her. And so she was in a very vulnerable situation, and had come, you know, had heard that the people from the Salvation Army were visiting in her neighborhood. And so she came to meet them that day. And as we listened to her story, I think all of us who were there just felt so convicted around here was a woman so vulnerable that she felt that her only option was to go back, you know, out on the street, and in order to be able to support her children. And, you know, certainly the women who were there that day made sure that that didn't happen. But as we started talking with the team in Bangladesh, we said, you know, how many of these most vulnerable women, you know, is the Salvation Army dealing with at any one time? And one of the first products that they learned to make through the Salvation Army program is these small embroidered hearts. And so we started just looking at, okay, how many women is that? How many hearts can each woman make in a day? You know, how many hearts would it take for us to order to support this group of women, you know, for 1 year as they go through this training program? And the number that we came to was 10,000. And I think, you know, that's such a small thing in a way for us to do. And yet the impact of that for the women in Bangladesh is even just beyond words to say what that means for them. To have that opportunity for consistent work that allows them to learn new skills and to gain that confidence that they need to make, you know, different choices for themselves and their families. And so I think it's stories like that linked to one person, but certainly, you know, applicable to many others in a similar situation, are what, you know, just have to be driving us when we, you know, have an opportunity to make a choice about purchasing a product for a core gift or an advisory board luncheon or, you know, a volunteer appreciation event. There's just so many opportunities within the Salvation Army that we have to make these kinds of purchases that mean so much to the people who receive the gift when they know the story behind it, but also mean the world to the producer who is sitting making that product, where the income that they make from that really means a total change that's possible for their lives.
Others' main market is really within the Salvation Army, soldiers, Salvation Army events, advisory board members, and so on. Is others hoping to tap into any other markets?
Absolutely. I think that's maybe one of the other, you know, new areas that we're really looking to move into this year. I think so far within the States, the primary audience, as you've mentioned, has been the Salvation Army. And I think that's been an important foundation to establish so that, you know, as Salvationists and as an organization, we really understand and embrace this ministry and really integrate that into what we're doing. But we need to expand beyond ourselves, and we're really looking for those opportunities and pursuing those this year. So we're really discerning and reaching out for potential retail partners that we would understand the mission of the Salvation Army and want to partner with us. We have a few small examples of that already, but certainly looking for more. We feel that this opportunity with the scarf collection and the connection with this designer in New York and kind of a network of people that she will be able to open to us will be part of that story as well. But if, you know, there's anyone listening or anyone who has kind of connections into small boutique shops or other retail opportunities, we would love to hear about those and be able to pursue those kinds of opportunities moving forward.
Will those scarves be available even at the trade here in Central Territory?
We've already been in communication with the Trade Department, and they're definitely interested in having those scarves available. So yes, once they're here, they should be online on the website and then also through the trade store.
Great. Yeah. Are there any other points that you'd like our listeners to hear about others that would be valuable for them so that they can keep sharing and it can the message of others can keep going?
Well, I think just really encourage everyone listening to follow the Others USA on social media, on Facebook and Instagram, and share those posts with your networks. I think that's really the place where we tell the stories of the women. You'll hear updates about what's happening with new products, and just being able to get that to as wide an audience as possible, you know, is really the first way I think that most everyone who's on social media can become involved with that. And, you know, certainly as you hear about these online parties becoming available or new products that we're promoting, you know, please just feel free to engage with that. Reach out, you know, to me if you're interested in becoming more involved, and, you know, we can be in touch around those opportunities moving forward. And then, you know, purchase a product, go out to the website for yourself or as a gift for someone else, or if you're in a core ministry or in a position to buy, you know, products for different events, you know, please think about the others' products when you're making those decisions, and support this beautiful ministry that is directly impacting the lives of men and women around the world.
April, for the leaders out there that are planning events, planning women's camps, commissioning events, this or that, and they are planning to buy, say, giveaway bags from a cheap online website, why should they choose others over that website?
I think that's a great question. And, you know, certainly, you know, understanding budget constraints and choices that, you know, everyone has to make around the things that we purchase, whether you're doing that for an event or you're doing that for yourself or for your own family. And we're all familiar with the fair trade, you know, principles. And I think that anytime that we think we're getting something that's cheap, the other side of that story is also that that product is very expensive for the people who are being exploited in making that cheap product, which we, you know, decide to purchase here. And so I think for the Salvation Army, it's really an issue of our own values and where we place the values of what we decide to purchase. Something from others, you know, we feel that our prices are very reasonable. We're not marking up the prices for the others' products. We're really just covering the cost to get the products here to the U.S. And so when you think about the life on the other end of a product, I think that choosing an Others Trade for Hope product not only has is the product beautiful, it's handmade, but it's telling the story of transformation of a person. And I think if we wanted to, you know, spend $1 or $2 or whatever amount, we'd want to spend it in a way that really values the dignity of the person who's making it. And we can know that with an Others Trade for Hope product.
Very good. Well, for some of our listeners, there might be a few of them that aren't familiar with the fair trade practices. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'd encourage you to go out and just, you know, Google, you know, about fair trade. I think we know a lot about this, you know, around products like coffee and chocolate, and certainly around the clothing industry. But there are principles which really show that a product is fairly being fairly traded, and those have to do with income, with working conditions, with environmental impact, and really looking at whether the income that a producer is making eventually goes back into sustaining not only that person, but in building a better community around where that person is, so they're able to reinvest money in the production and to make that even more sustainable moving forward. So if you don't know much about this, I'd encourage you to go out online and read about it. There's also ways to find out whether where you purchase products from particular stores, how they rate themselves in terms of, you know, being an ethical producer and where they source their products from. And I know it's very hard. You know, certainly at any point in the day, things that we purchase are going to not be fairly traded. But where we can make those choices, I think that it really is something that we'd want to do more and more as individuals and also as a Salvation Army.
Very good. All right, April, I feel like we covered a lot of stuff in just 35 minutes. Uh-huh. I can't even think of anything else. Is there anything else that you have?
No, I just thank you so much for this opportunity, and just encourage that, you know, so many people will hear about this and really look for ways that they can become involved with this this ministry.
Oh, Now I remember. I had one more question with the online parties. If some of our listeners want to host one, what does that look like for them? How should they proceed?
Well, once we launch that, and if you're following us on social media, you'll see the announcement of when those online parties are available. Then that would just be a matter of writing to me, and then we'll provide you with the links that you need for all the materials. And then you set up a group on social media through Facebook with your group of friends that you want to invite to that. And then we give you all of the materials that you would post during that party, and then, you know, be pointing people to the other's website for shopping throughout that event. So it'll be very easy, all done through your mobile or through your computer on social media.
Okay, April, thank you so much. I think it's going to be an exciting time at Arise and Shine where our women can come and purchase others' items and really get to touch and feel and experience what this wonderful ministry of the Salvation Army is. And I just love that. You know, sometimes I feel like the Salvation Army has so many pokes in the fire, but really I'm grateful that we do. I'm grateful that we've got our hand on this kind of ministry, because I really think it's transformative. And it's just important that our church takes a role, an active role in pursuing that transformation in people's lives. So thank you for all your work. And we're just excited to see what is to come for others.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks again for listening. To learn more about Others Trade for Hope, go to our website, uscwomensministries.com. That's uscwomensministries.com, where we will have a post with links about this episode. And to register for the Rise and Shine Women's Conference, go to centralwomenarise.com. And don't forget to RSVP on our Rise and Shine Facebook event page. See you next month.